There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
The government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
yeah,
the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Jackson's radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Good afternoon. Turn up my volume here so I can hear myself. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We are coming to you from the church at Cahuilla, in Cahuilla, California, as we do so Monday through Friday right here on ubroadcast.com via the dutchjones.tk website at 5 p.m. Pacific Time to 7 p.m. We are also being streamed elsewhere and wherever that is. And if you're hearing it on any place other than you broadcast, drop us a line. Let us know. What was that? Is that you or is that me? Well, that's that fan right there. Yeah, it's a loud fan. But you can drop us an email at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. 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 Just spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. Ah, boy, it's another scorcher hot day here. We've been doing backbreaking work, moving things. Not crazy about moving. It's probably, you know, one of the most miserable moments in anyone's life when you're moving. I mean, even if you're moving into a better place, if you're moving on up, as the Jefferson theme song says, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. But then you start realizing all the junk that you've been hauling around with you all these years, and you start to throw it away, and then family members are like, oh no, I need that September issue of TV Guide. You know, it's amazing the stuff you find in boxes and the crooks and crannies of your life and the things people want to continue to hold on to. I'm not a sentimental guy. I don't have a lot of things. I mean, I'm trying to think. Some of the oldest stuff I have in my possession isn't probably over 15 years of age. The biggest mementos I have are scars, you know, going back 20, 25, 30 years. But, wow, longer than that, actually. But what are you looking for? Yep, Lou's got to go set up the camera for the Providential History Bible study that we're doing. So if we go off the air, I have to jump around the end of the table. That's another thing. If we do go off the air, I got to remember when we get back up to tell people that this isn't the whole show, that they have to go to the archives. So if we go off the air, just remind people. Hello, Olima. Welcome. Today is... moving my rock collection would be a major job. My mother had a rock collection that was of no, you know, value other than the fact that she liked rocks. We hated moving that. My last marriage, I moved a broken piano around for about 6 years until finally I convinced her to donate it to a church. It's just weird, and it's just terrible. You know, I don't have much anymore. I've lost most of it, or given it away, or had to sell it to pay the cost of staying alive. But Stacy's just got all kinds of stuff. Lou's got, I mean, they have like three or four different video game systems, so then they have the games for those. They've got VHS tapes that are, you know, the kind that, remember when people used to use VHS tapes to record things like movies off of HBO and everything? You know, these things are 15 years old. The quality's no good, but it's like, what are we going to do with them? You know, I don't know. But if it were up to me, there are two things I learned from my father. Every time we'd go to move, he'd have a yard sale, and that which wasn't sold, that wasn't specifically needed to keep us going, was dumped. You know, we took it to Goodwill or that kind of stuff. It's probably where we got it from. We're just recycling it back to Goodwill. But moving is terrible. We're helping the person move into our spot who, hello, Batfag. Glad to see you. I haven't seen you around for a while. But so we're helping, we're moving our stuff out and then moving her stuff in, so it's doubly. And then I got the gimp foot, and the vehicles are broken down. One ran out of gas, you know, while we're moving stuff. The other one, the 4Runner just doesn't want to stay running. I bought the parts it required. Now the check engine light stays on. And then Stacy's car is out of gas, and she's got the newer one that we're using, and that one's breaking down. It's just funny. You know, I mean, you think it can't get any worse, and then it does, vehicular-wise. I mean, we're being blessed. We're very blessed that it came at a perfect timing. Someone needed a place to live, and we're vacating the little janitor's closet and turning it over to a new janitor. And it came out at perfect timing. I mean, the Lord knew what he was doing. And but, of course, it required that I speed up my moving. You know, I plan to do it over like a month, you know, a couple boxes here, a couple boxes there as I go back and forth between the research center and our home, just a few feet south of the research center. But moving into a new house is weird. New sounds, new smells, all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm glad you're here, Batfag. It's nice to have you listening live and chatting. We miss our regulars. I miss Jaws of Life. I know she was a big Messianic Jew supporter. I think that week that I went off on the Flotilla murders may have burned some bridges there. Sorry to hear that. But, I'm going to tell it like I see it. And we've been really fortunate, other than the ants that get into the soundboard here, which is a relatively new development, and we've been pretty much bug-free up here in the library. I don't know if it's because it's a library and there's just not like a bunch of stuff here, but you go into the house, I don't know if I told you this, like the first night I'm in there using the shower, a giant wolf spider comes out of the drain. And as Indiana Jones reacts to snakes, I react that way to giant spiders. I just start looking for things to just smash them, bang them, crush them. And so I bug bombed everything, and last night, spiders all over the place again. I'm not a fan of spiders. I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you on that one. So the bugs, there's lots of bugs in there. Probably because it has a basement.
Yeah.
If you're not my mic, I'm yawning. We got up at 5 this morning because now the next house over where we keep all the chickens and everything, they have a rooster. Now on this side, two lots down, my window's on the north side of the house, I don't hear the roosters at 5 a.m. But I'm hearing them at 5 a.m. now, and because I'm tuned to listening for noises for possible intruders, invaders, or, you know, ill will wishing people, I'm up at 5:05 now. And it's insane, and I just want to shoot this chicken, this rooster thing, and eat it. We get up at 6:30. I'm not a late riser, but 5, come on. Unless I, you know, there's something I need to do. I don't want to be up at 5 at any time. I stopped getting up at 4:30 in the Army. You know, that was the first thing I did when I got home. After that, you know, I started sleeping in till like 12:30 or so. The crack of noon, as somebody said to me the other day. But the new house is going good. We've got a water heater. We don't have to turn it on, turn it off. We don't have to do any of that. Oh, dark 30, as Batfag puts it in the chat room. We've got a stove, although we have nothing to cook with, no pots or pans. We just have our one frying pan and a skillet, an electric skillet, but we're good there. Lots of plugs. This building didn't have all the plugs. When we move all this equipment over there to do the broadcasting, it'll be nice because we won't have to use those octopus plug things. And then we got to move the internet down there. There's a bunch of stuff. We had people when I was in basic training. In basic training only, did they toss trash cans down the aisle? Someone's asking. Now, if anybody's going to be tossing a trash can, it's going to be me to get Lewis up because that kid sleeps like a coma patient. You got to literally shake him and smack him with his shoes in the morning to get him to wake up. He's going to be terrible on guard duty because he can't stay awake. I mean, he falls asleep during the show. I sometimes have a stick here, my cane and stuff, that I poke him with. So, no, I need to carry a trash can around that I can throw at him. Give him that. He has no idea how easy he has it being allowed to sleep. I let him sleep till 7:30. Mostly because when I get up at 6, it's nice just to have the quiet in the house and not a million questions. You know, what are we doing today? What's that? What's this? What are you looking at? You know, what are you looking at your computer? He's quiet around everyone else but us. It's funny. We do have some vintage metal trash cans with the lids up here. It'd be perfect. But if I really want to make a ruckus, I just throw a wild raccoon in the room with them and then wedge the door shut. And, you know, that's a good way to get him up, or at least make him think it's a wild raccoon. Throw a cat in there with him. He doesn't know the difference at that time of the morning. He doesn't wake up for about an hour, so it makes it good. So, you know, I was able to baby all the cars a little bit down the road to get him to the new house. And the other benefit of the new house, it has a swamp cooler, which I grew up with swamp coolers in mobile homes in Colorado, but we didn't have to use them a lot because it didn't get that hot. But I tell you what, being in there for the last 2 hours and then coming into the un-air-conditioned building, it's bad for me. You hear my voice? It wasn't like this, you know, this scratchy sound. It's because I've been sitting in the swamp cooler. And coming over, you know, across the street and up the hill, and the, you know, the dry heat in here, it just was a bad change. Well, hopefully most of you folks got my emails about what we're going to talk about today. I don't know if you've checked them or not, but July is hygiene month for us here at the Church of Kaweah. Our next third Sunday of the month, which is next Sunday, next Sunday, will be a hygiene class after church services. So if you want to come check us out, it's a good time to do it because you come to church with us at 10 a.m. You have chow with us at noonish, like. It's a pitch-in dinner, lunch. And then we'll do our training. And what we're going to do is cover just field hygiene. And one of our female militiaettes, I shouldn't say that, that's demeaning. She's as full on militia as the rest of us. She's going to handle the female presentation that the men have to hear. They need to know. You know, what's going on with their female friends or companions. So, you know, we'll do it both. But most of it's pretty basic, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today when we get into it. But on the topic of our training, the training is open to the public, but you have to come to church service. You don't just show up for the meal and the training. Nothing irks our pastor off more than somebody who blows off the message and then shows up to eat our meal and get our training for free. The whole point of this is outreach, is to reach out to other people and bond with them. We've got a couple listeners that live in our area that, you know, they've yet to show up to one of these, and I'm really encouraging you to do this, but make sure you come to the whole thing. You can be a couple minutes late, but I mean, you know, because if you don't judge the distance well, but don't just show up for the free meal and the free training. One, I get mad at it, and I might make fun of you during the class and use you for my examples for, you know, how to properly put on your long johns or something, but the pastor will ask you to leave unless, you know, it's, we had one guy, he just got lost. I mean, he came from like San Luis Obispo or something. You know, hours and hours away. God bless him for showing up. So that was pretty cool. But make sure you come for the whole thing. Our Wednesday nights, if you're in the area, America's Providential History. If you've been listening to those from the archives, they're great. We've got to get like two or three of them up. We just haven't had the bandwidth to do it. And uploading takes up, you know, lots of bandwidth. And when we were doing it, the show was dropping off. So we're trying not to do that anymore. But we're going to switch over to hygiene. It's weird not having Lou here. Hopefully we won't crash. He'll get that camera set up as soon as he can. But where did I put it? Wilderness hygiene survival or post-disaster scenario survival. And just with everything else, it's all about preparedness. Someone was making jokes about, can you wear the same underwear for 3 days? I thought you could wear the same underwear till they fall off, but that's just me. I'm pretty frugal. One pair of underwear a month. But seriously, though, the quickest things that'll take you out of a fight is disease or injury that's complicated by infection. A lot of people think that World War I ended, you know, because of strategy or tactics or the treaty that was signed. No, it ended because the people were dying in the trenches faster than they could poke holes in them with bullets. And it was trench warfare that brought about the close quarters. All wars have disease, but trench warfare was particularly nasty. The rats, the pigs, the chickens, avian and swine flu came to their full fruition during the World War I. And even though we as militia people or as survivalists, we may not end up in a trench warfare scenario, Lord willing, we still have to figure out how to take care of things. Now, cleanliness is next to godliness. It's, you know, that's the saying, right? You've got to be able to clean yourself every day. And some of the techniques, you know, we know our soldiers over being put into harm's way unjustly. baby wipes, wet wipes, you know, whatever you can get, baby oil and paper towels, whatever it takes, the hand sanitizers, those types of things, to clean the stinky, hot, mushy parts of your body every single day. It has to be part of your discipline regimen of your militia. Now, I know this stuff isn't as exciting and as fun as learning how to put rounds down range or to suppress the enemy or to, you know, things like that. Not even as fun as just, you know, preparing food, but it's probably just as important as learning how to handle your weapons, because it'll take you out of the fight, and if it doesn't take you out of the fight, it'll limit your effectiveness, which may get others killed. Everything from blisters to diaper rash to prickly heat to ear infections to cold sores, all that stuff will, you know, believe it or not, will affect your morale and your will to fight. In any situation, cleanliness is the most important factor in preventing infection or disease, period. So making your people, having available to them cleaning materials, a place to clean, a properly located latrine system, all those things are stuff you have to think about. You know, a daily shower with hot water is ideal, but you don't have the luxury of hot water, so you can stay clean with a cloth and soapy water. You know, you've all seen it where guys, and I've done it, where they're using their steel pot. I don't know what, you know, what are you going to use? I guess you can use your canteen cup now to heat up your water now that you don't have a steel pot anymore. But heat up your water and bathe in that daily. Use it. It's funny. It's like the two key things that I keep in my kits are like a washcloth and a small towel that I try and keep clean or around my neck or whatever. It's not just for, you know, catching sweat. It's great to use when you get an opportunity to stop and do some cleaning. Because I can tell you, especially in your, and this is a word that I heard yesterday, somebody used, groinal area, crotchular area, chafing, rubbing, all that can be avoided if you stay clean and use lotions and things to keep it from being irritated. Now, if you're under fire, taking the time to do a hobo bath isn't recommended, but you got to be able to do it. You got to work your armpits, your crotch, your hands, your hair, your beard, your facial hair if you have it. You know, if water is scarce and your security allows it, take an air bath. People have forgotten about what those are, where you just expose your body to sunlight. You know, don't get sunburned, but you take off all your clothes in a safe area and sunbathe. That's where it came from. You got to do that for about an hour, you know. But then again, you get into the sunburn problem, so, you know, it doesn't take long in some of these regions of America to get a sunburn. Now, if you don't have soap available, you can use ash from a fire. You can use sand. You can make soap from animal fat and wood ashes. Now, there's a formula for making soap, and I sent it out to you guys. If you didn't get it, email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com and ask for the hygiene flyer that I just sent out. You can extract grease from animal fat by cutting the fat into small pieces and cooking them in a pot. Not the fat that's been cooked in the pan with your meat. You want to trim the fat and collect it. Now, those of you that know about Spam and all that, you can use that, but what you really want is living animal fat, because you're going to try and get the lye out of it. You add enough water to the pot to keep the fat from sticking as it cooks. You cook it slow under a lower heat, higher up if you're doing a campfire, stirring it frequently. Now, after the fat is completely rendered and there's no chunks of meat or hair in it, you can skim those off, put it in a container to harden. And then what you do is you take the ashes from a campfire, place it in a container with a spout near the bottom, which is kind of hard to find, but you can boil it and do all kinds of things. Pour water over the ashes and collect the liquid that drips out the spout in a separate container. You don't have to boil it, just pour it in. I've used hot water. The liquid is the potash or lye. So you filter water through the ashes, and what you can do is you can take a small coffee can, perforate a hole, you know, one or two holes in the bottom, and the water that comes out will contain lye. You collect the liquid. What you can do is a slurry mix of ashes and water through a straining cloth. You can use a cloth to do it too and squeeze it out. In a cooking pot, if you don't have a coffee can, mix two parts grease with one part potash. Place this mixture over a fire and boil it until it thickens. That's where you're going to boil it. After the mixture, the soap, you know, it cools. You can use it in a semi-liquid state, like hand soap, you know, the lotion soap, directly from the pot. Or you can also pour it into a pan and allow it to harden and cut it into strips. This is how our great-grandparents made soap, folks. Soap is critical. Let me go back to the room here so I can see what you guys are talking about. No word on our man behind the wire. We have a court date, and we have, you know, the usual harassment by the feds, you know, saying, hey, we'll make this all go away if you talk to us about certain people. And we don't know who the people are they want them to talk about, and that's all I'm going to say, Rocky Hill. But good question. A spit bath. I don't know what a spit bath is, but ink water. I don't know what ink... What do you mean, sink water? That's kind of weird. Ink water. I think you mean sink water. But if you don't prepare... If the best thing to do is to prepare the soap. You know, long-term stuff, you're going to have to detail people to make lye soap. Hygiene's critical. And it'll become a currency, won't it? When they find out you know how to make soap, that might be a skill that'll keep you fed. Trade a bar of soap for a can of Spam. You know, who knows? But why not stash it away now? A lot of people don't like the antibacterial soaps and stuff because they say it ruins your tolerances. And, you know, your immunities, rather. I'm kind of out on that. I know there's a lot of science to it, but if you're going to use it sparingly and not to bathe your whole body in it every day, I don't think it's going to affect you like that. But I keep those little bottles of hand disinfectant, like if I come in contact with contagious hepacuti potential, somebody else's blood or fluids because of a fight or something, I use it. I use it all over the, you know, wherever I came in contact, and then I go out from there. I use it in my hair. I use it on my hands. I use it on my equipment. If the person I think had contagious hepacuties does that, then I'm gonna do that. So prepare. Stash up on soap. You can get soap cheap. And a soap is something, you know, unless it's coming from China and has melamine and chromium in it, you know, you're not going to go wrong. You know, if you guys have recommendations, I like Dove detergent soaps for things because it also takes the human odor out of your clothes. But any kind of soap you can get. You know, I've showered with dishwashing soap. I've done the laundry with dishwashing soap when I had nothing left. You just don't use a whole lot of it because you'll get a foam monster coming out of your washing machine. But start stashing those kind of things. Stash up what you can of, what's the word I'm looking for? Shampoos, conditioners, those types of things. Plus, they just make you feel better. You don't have to get the scented stuff, especially if you're going to be going on patrol, but if that's what you got. And I'm telling you, find out where, if you don't have any money, go to the shelters and ask for hygiene kits. They'll just give you a hygiene kit. That's the easiest thing for them to do to keep them out of your shelter and eating their food. Just say, hey, I need a hygiene kit. You know, and start, you know, go down every month and ask for a hygiene kit. It takes high tolerance to pain to clean your parts with isopropyl alcohol. Yeah, I actually, because of my knee injury, I've been doing alcohol baths. You know, an older thing that boxers and stuff used to do. Because of my knee and my foot injury, I've been using isopropyl alcohol. That's got to sanitize you. You know, a little bottle with spray alcohol in it, maybe. But I'm using it just to soothe my muscles and stuff in my knee and my leg that are hurting. And which is weird today because I was doing really good and I started to cramp up again. My leg started to cramp and pull on that tendon and it's hurting again. So maybe I need to do that some more. You can take regular soap bar and cut it into thirds to go in packs and stuff. Yeah. Get trimmed out. You know, use a little serrated knife, whatever it takes. Be careful so you don't lob off a finger. You know, I have to give the disclaimers here. But I go down and I always get four bars of soap for $2 at like Wally World or the supermarket, and we buy them and we throw them around. They smell good. They just darn smell good. You know, I like having them around. You know, you walk into a bathroom and it smells clean just because there's extra bars of soap laying out. If you can't afford the little travel packs, go to Walmart and get the little plastic travel empty bottles. They're really cheap for like a couple bucks. You get four or five in a bag. And then just skim off the regular shampoo that you buy every month. You probably are using more than you need anyway. You know, this whole rinse, lather, repeat thing? You're using more of the product than you should anyway. They want you to do that. So cut down and divvy it out and store it. It won't even change your current budget. People, I just don't have time to do this. Save up your little soap, you get down to that soap where it's too small to do anything. Take an old towel that's cut up, make a little pouch out of it, sew it up, throw those bars of soap in there, sew it up, make it a big fatty so it looks like a chalupa or something, stuff these little odds and ends, and when it's full, finish sewing it up, throw it in your pack. Now you've got your scrubbing material and your soap in one hand. You don't have to worry about dropping the soap in the creek. You just dip it in the water and start scrubbing. Hello, Lou. Can you get the water now, please? I'm losing my voice. It's right there. And then you put that in a Ziploc. I usually let my stuff air dry before I close them back in, though, if you can be at one location for a long period of time. Or you know, use a subdued color washcloth to sew up your soap bits in. And soap, put a ring on it and hook it on your backpack so you can walk around and it will air dry. Because you don't want to throw wet stuff in your pack, especially in plastic. You'll get a moldy mildew thing. You can go to jail and get a hygiene kit for toolkit for free. Well, maybe we should just... this is cold. Thank you, Luke. We need to hook up with more prison guards. I got a couple friends say, hey, throw down some hygiene kits for me. Oh, that's some good, not hot water. Yeah, we'll do an underwear check this weekend, Rocky Hill Ranger saying. We'll have everybody in the militia group have to show us that they're wearing clean underwear. Is that what you're saying? That's a little... Oh, Batfag saying that the free kit's in prison are from China, too. Typical. But yeah, I hope you understand what I'm saying. You take a washcloth, cut it in half, sew it up into a pouch, leave one end open, and over like several months, just keep stuffing your unusable chunks of soap in there, and just sew it up. Put a couple of those in each pack. They're great. You don't have to worry about it. Just wash up, and then have a separate cloth to dry with. You know, you don't want to keep soap residue on you. You have to rinse it off. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, you have to have glycerol soap if you're washing in a stream and all that. I'm talking about the end of the world as we know it stuff, folks. Or short-term stuff. I don't care if I'm going to choke a fish downstream. I'm probably choking my cohorts because I haven't taken a bath. It's more important that you take a bath than that you worry about, the environment. You know, don't go in there with borax or something, maybe, but, you know, just little bars of soap. Irish Spring's not going to kill any fish. But, you know, keep that kind of stuff together. keep your hands clean as much as possible. Anytime before you're going to eat, do anything, you know, after you're handling ammunition, keep your fingernails closely trimmed and clean so they don't build up feces material. You know, that's one of the leading causes of E. coli. It's people in the middle of the night scratching their butt that's not been cleaned properly, and then they get up and they wash their hands, but they keep the fecal matter under their fingernails, and then they go to work. I have a brush that we keep in our bathroom. It's just a standard little brush, and I go under my fingernails every night and get the debris out. Because in my sleep, I don't know where my hand's going. Do you? It's funny, my dad used to always say that. He goes, you don't know where your hand's been. I'm like, yes, I do. He's like, no, you don't. Wash your hands. But look at your fingernail. Lou washes his hands all the time. Your fingernails get stuff under them?
A little bit.
See? How do you know it's not fecal matter? Should always clean under your fingernails. Keep your hair clean because we all know what kind of critters can go around your hair. Me, I just in the summer shave my head and then get like weird sunburn on top of it. But your hair can become a haven for bacteria as well as fleas or lice and other parasites. Keeping your hair clean, combed, and trimmed helps to avoid the danger of getting secondary diseases that way. You do not want to have fleas in your hair. You don't want to have ticks where you can get, you know, all kinds of contagious hepatitis that way. So believe it or not, keeping your hair well-groomed, it's not just a discipline thing. I prefer that all men shave their heads, you know, but that's, you know, and if I were going to be in charge of that, that way it'd be easier to make sure that nobody's got little rice eggs rolling around in their head. I don't know if they still do that. Do they, Lou? In school, check you for lice?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They did it when I was a kid. And they'd hand the little Rit comb out to the kids and the little box of Rit and said, take this home and have your mama wash your hair. Keep your clothes clean. Keep your bedding clean. Keep everything clean. It reduces the chance of skin infection as well as decreases the danger of parasitic infection if you rotate your clothes and clean them properly. Clean your outer clothing whenever it becomes soiled. Wear clean underclothing and socks each day if you can. If water is scarce, air clean your clothes by shaking, airing, and sunning for about 2 hours. The UV will kill a lot of stuff. For using a sleeping bag, turn it inside out after each use. Fluff it and air it. And I'm here to tell you, it will save you money in the long run because that bag will last longer. It will last a lot longer than being rolled up and stuffed away every night with all the weirdness in there that you brought into it. Okay, we're going to come back after the break. We're going to continue to talk about hygiene, whether you want to or not. I'm looking for comments from you guys. I'll give out the phone number when we come back. We'll be right back with Dutch Jones right here.
My sweetheart's name is off to the wars and gone.
He's fighting for his nanny dear. His sword is buckled on. He's fighting for his own true love. His foes he does defy. He is the darling of my heart, my southern soldier boy.
I was saying, I wouldn't worry nearly as much about the atom bomb if it were to kill you right out. What scares me is that awful gas that deforms you.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Yeah.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You'll save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Oh, for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set them roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order.
Attention.
Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Bats, Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, this is the Dutch Jones radio program. It is the 14th of July, 2010. So if you're listening at another time, it's not live. And if it's a very short program, it's not live. So make sure you find out where the archives are. That's easy enough to do. Just go to dutchjones.tk and you find listen to past shows here. It's labeled big words there. And Olima has set up a site of archives, and you can hear the whole shows there. You know, some of them are missing. You know, that's okay. But you can find complete shows there, and you can find longer shows than the 15-minute one that was running today. You broadcast, there's no rhyme or reason. It's not their fault. It's the satellite uplink. In fact, they were surprised we're even able to use satellite with you broadcast. It's just like Skype. They said you shouldn't be able to do it, but we are. And praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. We don't get dumped off. Today we're talking about hygiene, and that's not something you say when your friend Gene's walking by. It's the method study and tactics that you use to keep clean, to keep disease, sickness, illness away, and from complicating festering wounds, those types of things. You know, you want to get back in the fight, back in the defense of your family. So little things you can do ahead of time. I want to know some of the things that you've learned. Did Grandma tell you a little special trick to do with your underwear or something? As long as it's not weird, we'll let you on the air. It's 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. And I'm just going to put it, when you call, I just say, who are you and what do you want to talk about? So just say, you give me just your first name, maybe where you're calling from if you want to. And just say, there, I want to talk about Grandma's recipe for making lye soap. That would be great. And because we want to hear from you. It's audience participation. This isn't just an entertainment show. It's not like corporate radio. I'm not here. I don't have all the answers. In fact, I probably have more questions than I have answers. But I like to share the microphone as much as possible. Well, getting back to it, I posted a URL in the chat room there. Someone just emailed me while I'm on the air and wanted me to talk about it, but I don't have time to go look at it. But I guess they're going to lift the ban on sodomites donating blood. So you have to go to that www.usasurvival.org, www.usasurvival.org, and there's a story there about, I guess, Obongo's talking about lifting the ban on faggots and dykes and everybody with their contagious hepatitis donating blood, so you run the risk of it again. You know, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. When we last spoke, we were talking about keeping your clothes clean, and I need to spend a lot of time on this. You all knew those kids in high school or junior high, they had the shiny jeans. You know, the jeans are so filthy with oil from the skin and whatever they've been rolling in that the jeans have those shiny parts on the thighs and maybe the calves. It's disgusting. Well, it does two things. It breaks down the fabric, it clogs it, doesn't allow it to breathe, and it causes them to wear out sooner. Plus, it also breaks down on any type of warming factor the clothing may have. So you need to clean your clothes in the field. That's why you should always have two sets of everything, at least two sets of socks. You want to have four or five pairs of socks, four or five pairs of underwear, three or four T-shirts. The outer BDUs and stuff, you can have one, you know, two pairs of those, and that's fine. But you've got to be able to air them out and maybe break up those shiny spots if you're getting any on your BDUs or your hunting clothes or whatever. Every chance you get, you know, just take them down and, you know, run them in a stream, wash them with whatever type of soap you brought along. I highly recommend you get one of these little brushes that I have. I got it at the dollar store. It's a stiff bristle, but it's not like a wire bristle. It's an acrylic or plastic. It's got a red handle, real easy to hold. It's only about 3.5-4 inches long. You can clean anything with it. I've cleaned my boots with it, my fingers with it, anything. Sounds like I'm on the Home Shopping Network. And everything you can do to your clothes, fluff them up, air them out, don't tie them in a knot, put them in a Ziploc and put them in the bottom of your pack and forget about them until the clothes you're wearing get wet, and then you go to put them on and it comes out and you smell like a low tide. you know, in Rhode Island when you get those stuff out of the bag. You don't want to do that. Stuff's going to grow in there. Plus, just inspecting them, you'll find ticks, fleas, chiggers, all kinds of stuff living in the seams of your clothing. Inspect the seams. Inspect some weird manufacturers, because I don't know if they're using robots or something, but they'll sew up like little areas in your clothes that are like, it's like a room with no windows or doors, but bugs can get in there. I know that sounds weird, but like I'm looking at my Walmart shorts, probably made by Chinese slaves, and you know, there's all kinds of little places that things can get into and hide. It's like I'm right now, the flap on the BDU pockets, there's something inside the flap, and I don't know how it got in there because there's no openings. But I can feel stuff in there, dirt, or maybe it's dead bugs, because they'll crawl between the seams. So inspect your clothing daily. Take the time to do it. It has everything to do with laziness. And I'm going to cop to that, too. You just get back from, you know, 5-6 miles of humping your ruck through the hills. Last thing you want to do is sit down and fondle your clothes to see if there's any problems with them. This is when you're checking them for tears. You're checking them for, you know, fleas. You're checking them for ticks, like I said. It's your clothes are a very important part of your soldier kit, and taking the time to take a look at them. And your boots, inspect your boots, look for rust spots, look for, if you've got old combat boots, look for nails coming through the heel, those types of things. And it comes back to laziness. People say, oh, you just want to throw them on the ground and drop down in your bunk or your hammock or wherever it is that you've been allotted to sleep. You can't do that. You know, the first thing you get back is you got to inspect your gear. You know, you start with your weapon, you know, your communications, all that kind of stuff, your ruck. But you got to make sure you include time to inspect your clothing. Now, the more hazardous the environment, the more crucial this is. You know, if you're in extreme cold, you know, situations, you better make sure everything's working. You know, inspect your gloves, inspect your liners. Let your liners air out. Don't just let your hands soak sweaty and then throw those away into a cubbyhole somewhere, and then when you go to use them, they're frozen stiff. You know, you can air stuff out. Stuff will dry in Arctic conditions. You'd be surprised. You know, or make a greenhouse. Do something. Find ways to maintain your clothing. Keep them clean. Keep them fresh. Repair them. Do everything you can. Now, this is one I wish Jaws of Life was here, because she's real big on this one. Keep your teeth clean. Thoroughly clean your mouth and teeth with a toothbrush at least once a day. If you don't have a toothbrush, make a chewing stick. Find a twig about 20 centimeters long and 1 centimeter wide. Chew on one end of the stick to separate the fibers. Now brush your teeth thoroughly with that. Just make sure you're not using like oleander or poison sumac or poison oak. What was it? Leaves of three, brush with me. Isn't that what you always say, Lou? Let's see here. So you've got to take care of it. Like if I lost my toothbrush in the field or I forgot it, I'd use a piece of cloth. I'd use a washcloth, wrap it around my finger. If I didn't have toothbrush or something, I would put salt or something on there, just something abrasive, and I would rub my teeth. They say you can use sand, baking soda, salt, even soap, but that tastes terrible. But I, one time, because I was, it just my breath was terrible, I took a little bit of that antibacterial hand soap I told you about. This is when I was a PI. I put it on a little washcloth, and I rubbed it all over my teeth. It kind of wakes you up, especially if you've got bad teeth or gums. You should always rinse your mouth. If you just have water, that's fine. Salt water is really good. Willow bark tea is good. Flossing your teeth with string or fiber helps with oral hygiene. People always laugh at me because I carry around, you know, the wire bread ties? I have those all over my kits. One of the things I use them for, because I've got really bad gaps in my molars, for reasons I'll go into later, but or another show. But it's like flossing for me. I don't use floss. I use a little wire, and I clean out between my teeth with that. Now, if you have cavities, you can make temporary fillings. I know this sounds weird, but you can use candle wax. Historically, people have used tobacco leaves, aspirin, hot pepper, toothpaste, or tooth powder, for those of you that are into that. You can use ginger root, which is really good. Make sure you clean the cavity by rinsing or picking the particles out of the cavity before placing or filling in the cavity. I've never had a cavity, ever. Never had one. I don't take good care of my teeth. But lately I've been, you know, thinking about, well, just like I said, I've never had a foot injury. Look at this. You know, things do happen. So put together an oral hygiene case, something specifically for it. Get those little toothpicks with the floss on the end. Put a half a dozen of them in there. They add very little weight to your kit. Have a dental tool picking thing, in there. Although the thought of working on a cavity, I've been around people that have had cavities. It seems incredibly painful. But you have to do it. Cloves. Keep some cloves around. I know that when my friends were all getting wisdom teeth pulled, they would the dentist in our town would put cloves in there. It helped with the pain and infection. Now, I've never had a wisdom tooth. In fact, I'm missing some molars. I'm a freak of nature. Yeah. I was a premature baby, and there's all kinds of health things that go with that. And my molars are missing. That's why I got huge gaps in them. So if I eat steak or pork, I'm digging in there right after dinner with a chunk of wire, trying to get it out. So taking care of your teeth is far more critical than you could ever imagine. An infected impacted tooth, something as simple as just not taking good care of your teeth, getting a piece of meat down in there that festers, will kill you. Think about where the infection is in your upper jaw, in the top of your jaw. How far away is that from your nasal cavity and brain? Boom, right through there, right to the right to the thinking muscle, and you're dead. At the very least, you're miserable. Think of that scene in Castaways when Tom Hanks knocked his cavity out with an ice skate and a rock. Think about that. Do you want to be an added burden to your group, or do you want to be able to be 100% when you fight? So take care of your teeth. Have a tooth hygiene kit. Pick up toothbrushes now. They're cheap. They're not that expensive. And just start throwing them into bags. They'll be great trade items too. What's the rule for using a toothbrush? I don't know. I usually wait till I get a new one. Somebody gives me one. But we got toothbrushes everywhere. And then when they're no longer good for brushing my mouth, I throw them in my weapon cleaning kit. Every 6 months, Lou says. Is that what they teach you? Now, have you ever had a cavity, Lou?
I think one.
Did it hurt?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't even know you had it? I've never had one. But my daughter, she's 9 years old, and she's got tons of them. My ex-wife, she better just get false teeth. She had over 40 cavities. My mom and dad both had false teeth before they were 45. I don't know why. I'm just blessed. But my teeth are green. My mother ingested tetracycline on her doctor's orders in 1965 when I was in utero. And tetracycline, one of the side effects is it turns children's teeth this grayish-green color and makes them really small and tiny. That's okay. If I have to have ugly teeth and never have a cavity, if that's why it is, if it gave me really thick enamel, thank you, Lord, I appreciate that. I don't want to be a spokesmodel, I just want to live. Now, the next one I'll probably spend the rest of this hour on because it cannot be stressed enough that if you lose your feet, you're dead. They are the original all-terrain vehicle. God made them. They're the best little feet you can have, and if you don't take care of them, you are out of the fight, you're a burden, and you're dead in some situations. To prevent serious foot problems, you need to break in your shoes before wearing them on any mission. Wash and massage your feet daily. I know that sounds weird. We may do it without thinking, but think when you get home, you throw your shoes off and you start rubbing your feet. That's a good thing to do. What it does is it increases circulation, which is key, especially in guys with diabetes. But circulation is everything. It helps regenerate the skin. It helps strengthen the muscles. So you want to massage your feet. It used to be, I'd come home and put my feet up in Stacy's lap, and she'd rub them for me. But the honeymoon's over, so I'm rubbing my own feet. Trim your toenails straight across. I get that question all the time. Should I cut a V in them? Should I do this? Should I do that? Just straight across. So you need to have what? A toenail clipper. Don't, break out your K-bar and start trimming your toenails. And unless you're like Lou, where you're flexible enough to chew your toenails.
I don't chew my toenails.
Lou, then why do I always see you there, chewing your toenails and spitting them off into the carpet?
I don't do that.
Yeah, right. So have your toenail clippers, a good pair of toenail clippers. You get the dollar store ones, it's hit and miss. Wear an insole that's the proper, that's the proper size for your shoe. Insoles will save you a whole bunch. They absorb moisture. They help cut down on friction. They are cushiony. What's that gelin? The gelin. So I don't know the commercial. Yeah, I'm gelling with my gelin or whatever. But I love insoles. I buy them all the time. The ones the military gave you never seem to work. You want to make sure that you have the proper size of dry socks. You want to have as many dry socks as you can carry. If you've got extra space, don't fill it with ammo. Fill it with socks. You'll thank me later. You get in a situation where you run out of ammo, you can still run if you got dry socks. You need to do everything you can to learn about blister care. Blister care and treatment. You don't burst them. God put that fluid in there for a reason. You don't want it to burst or tear, because you know what that does? It exposes your body. It takes away the covering, protective coating of skin that the God, that Jesus Christ put there on purpose. So don't pop those blisters. So you want to have mole skin, all kinds of stuff that you always hear people throw around when the subject comes up. I've seen guys that had blisters so bad they had to be carried off the battlefield because they didn't take care of their feet. They didn't break in their second pair of boots. They just wore one pair into the ground and then grabbed the other one instead of rotating them. To avoid having blisters burst or tear under pressure and cause a painful and open sore, you need to do the following. Now, I didn't say you couldn't drain them. You don't want to burst them or pop them. You want to drain them. You want to obtain a sewing needle. You should have a sewing kit. You want to sterilize it. You can just use your lighter to do that. You can use peroxide. You can use the alcohol, whatever. Run the needle and thread through the blister after cleaning the blister. So if you have any the topical alcohol wipes, you wipe around the blister. So you run it through the blister. Detach the needle and leave both ends of the thread hanging out of the blister. You may be thinking that's a little sick, but listen to me here. Detach the needle and leave both ends of the thread hanging out of the blister. The thread will absorb the liquid inside. This will reduce the size of the blister and of the hole it's going to make after it drains. And then also, it ensures that the holes don't close up. Because you want that skin there, you want a little bit of it, but as it grows and grows and grows, it could burst and open you up to infection. And you want to pat around the blister. I've taken 4x4 pads, stuck them in my sock, you know, whatever it took to ease that. They've got all types of little treatments for it. You know what works really good for the foot pain around a blister? Ambusol, the stuff that should be in your dental care kit for a toothache. Ambusol, I rub it on there around it. It's topical and it takes some of the edge off of it. It doesn't last a whole lot of time, but it helps you know, maybe enough pain to get your boot back on, you know, cuts the pain. Another thing is that people don't follow when they're in combat just because of the nature of combat. You need to get rest. You need to sleep as much as you can, and I know that's hard. You need a certain amount of rest to keep going. People have gone nuts. Literally, they've used torture on people to keep them awake, and it snapped them permanently. You know, the music, the purple dinosaur song and strobe lights that they're doing to the Muslims down in Gitmo. That's just the way it is. So what you've got to do is you got to get catnaps whenever you can. I'm not saying compromise the mission, but if there's three of you, and one's cooking food and one's on guard duty, the third guy should be getting a catnap. You need at least 10 minutes per hour during your daily activities. So if you've been up for 8 hours, you're going to need at least 80 minutes of sleep. Does that make sense to you? I've gotten by on just 2 hours of sleep a night and not done anything really weird. You know, I didn't see pink elephants or anything. But you do that 4 or 5 nights in a row, you're going to start seeing and hearing stuff. You get that crunchy feeling in your system. Your senses are like, you think they're heightened, but they're really not. They're just more irritated. So what you want to do is figure out how to make yourself as comfortable as you can get under whatever hostile situation you're in. That's why I always talk about when you're building your fighting position, go Leisureville on it, man. Have at least one part of it where somebody can lay down and sleep. Now, a change from mental to physical activity or vice versa can be refreshing when the time comes or situation does not permit total relaxation. And what this guideline is basically saying is, like, when you can rest, get exercise when you can, you know, especially if you're not a frontline troop and you're just sitting in a kiosk at the front gate 8 hours a day, maybe before you go to rest you should try and run 2 miles or something. Because how is your body going to go into sleep mode if you're not tired because you've been sitting in a swivel chair all day by the front gate? I saw that happen a lot too. So sleep is amazingly important. I can't overestimate that. And you people that are going to be leaders, you have to work that into your training schedule, You have to work that into your duty schedule in the real situation. I remember to graduate from the MP Academy, what was called B-44. B-44 was just the training range we went to. But what it was a week of total stress, running real-world scenario MP missions in three-man fire teams. I mean, they may tell you to be at a map coordinate, to be picked up by a helicopter, and you go do stuff. It was great. But the understanding, the way it was described to us at the beginning, we were told we weren't allowed to sleep for the entire five-day exercise. By about the fourth day, we were like, hamna, hamna, hamna. And these majors were coming out, and they're like, how come no one's asleep right now? And I said, we were told to stay awake. 20 minutes later, the drill sergeants came out. I mean, it's the only time I ever heard them apologize to us in training. No, we didn't mean that. You know, we wanted you on 50% security. And technically it was 33% security because we were three-man fire teams. If one guy's on guard duty, one guy's doing whatever maintenance to the vehicle or monitoring the radio, the third guy must be asleep, which meant you could get up to 8 hours of sleep a day. We didn't know that. So as a leader, and these guys, you know, the company commander all the way down through the first sergeant to the platoon sergeants, they all screwed up. They told us, we thought we had to stay awake. So we were on 100% security, and we were hurting puppies. Huh? Yeah. So it was just like, okay, well, you know, we're... And then after that, you know, once we all got... We got a little bit of a stand down where we could get rest and stuff. But you will see things that you can't even explain if you deprive yourself of sleep more than 72 hours. That's the longest I ever went. It was in the middle of the fourth day. They let us take a break from the training for about 6 hours, and everybody went to sleep. You know, they suspended it because people will snap. It's very dangerous to not allow your people to sleep. Now, the other side of it is too much sleep is dangerous, too. You know, we all know teenagers, they have to sleep because they're growing and stuff. But anything more than 10 hours, and Lou's going to sleep right now. Anything more than 10 hours can be dangerous, too. It creates slothfulness. It leads to depression. It does all kinds of stuff. So you don't want your people just totally leisure and sleeping. I mean, if they come back from a seven-day patrol, you give them 3 days where you just don't monitor them. You know, they stay in the compound or whatever, and you let them, you know, recreate or however they need to decompress from whatever stress they're under. So you don't want to sleep too much either. You can't underestimate or overestimate the need for sleep. Does that make sense? Yeah, you can underestimate it easily. But maybe it's because I didn't get enough sleep last night because that rooster woke me up at 5 this morning. But I think you get the point. Maybe I'm flogging a dead horse here, but people neglect these things. Happy puppies make good puppies. And if you have happy soldiers, you're going to have good soldiers. Militia, I should say militia. We're Christian soldiers. And the last thing is keeping everything clean. People think that the military goes nuts about your bed and all that because they just want something to yell at you for. They have to be extreme because most of us come from slobby homes. Most Americans are slobs. I mean, we're not extreme like that hoarding show that's on TV now. But most people don't clean up anything very well. You know, we keep dishes in the sink for, you know, a couple days here and there. We got stuff growing in all of our refrigerators that would probably declare us as terrorists with bioweapons if the government knew about it. So you've got to have a higher expectation of cleanliness around the facility. You know, I've talked about latrines before, so I won't go into that. But just general cleanliness. You know, have ample wash stations. If you have a latrine, you better have a place for people to wash their hands. If you've got people living permanently, you better have a dump. You better have enough places to take your waste product that the enemy can't get to it to use it for intel. Have a way to bury it, destroy it, whatever. You know, good rotation and good cleaning of all cooking utensils. You know, and don't reuse something that's not meant to be reused. That sounds stupid, but there are people that will reuse food containers and stuff without sanitizing them or cleaning them. It's just like I've seen people reuse mayonnaise jars and they didn't clean it and they got salmonella. You know, mayonnaise is not our friend. I love it, but it's not our friend. So we're going to come back after the break. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Maybe I'll read some news. I was hoping you guys would call and give me some topics, but this week's just been hard on me. A lot of work being done here, not a lot of prep time put in. So this is Dutch Jones. We'll be back on Liberty Tree Radio after the break. You can feel it in the air. You can
tell the time is coming. You can sense it everywhere. You can see it in the faces. All around you see the signs. America is changing.
Be clear. Nobody needs to thank me for what I'm doing. Okay? I'm honored to be doing what I'm doing. How could anyone learn about a global plan to enslave and exterminate people and not fight it?
Government is the
There's
problem.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
The government is the problem.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
facts! Jones!
Radio program!
And now for something completely different.
I love banjo music. I don't know why, I just love banjo music. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live this July 14th, 2010 from Cahuilla, California. We decided yesterday that if California had a belly button, it would be somewhere around here because we're smack dab in the middle, I think. And we're in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, and we're just outside Sequoia National Park. You guys know the drill. You know where I'm at. And I come to you Monday through Friday on the U broadcast stream off of the DJ store, or DutchJones.tk. But we have the great honor of being on Liberty Tree Radio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that's great. I love doing that. So today being a Wednesday, we are here. And right after the show, we run out of here because we go to a Bible study. So the usual, nobody calls during the show, but they like to call me after the show to talk to me. I guess they just don't want to be on the air. But you can't do that today because I will be slamming down the cell phone and grabbing my Bible and running out of here. We want to thank you for your support, but I can't talk to you on Wednesdays. So if you want to call, you have to call during the show. And I'll give you that number right now. It is area code 559-561-8225. Right, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. Area code 559-561-8224. 8225. Thank you. I just turned my head over here and looked at the number 4. We are scorching here. The heat's going up in Central California. It's getting hot around the belly button region of California. So what you're hearing in the background are fans. We don't have air conditioning, so we just stick fans in our faces. And it's my biggest fan sitting right over there blowing it. Oh, it's leaning against. Somebody turned it. You turned it against the wall when you came in last. Go over there and adjust it. No wonder why I'm sticking to the chair. But it's miserable, and it's going to get worse. We're going to be up in the triple digits for the rest of the week, I've heard. So the training we're going to do on Sunday here at the church is going to be indoor training. Indoor training, for those of you that don't know, the third weekend of the month, we do militia training. Now, we're not going to do a Saturday this month because Friday training is it's an advanced tactical pistol class that's being we're going somewhere for this one. We're going to Course Gold to DFT. Phone's over there. DFT. If you go to our website, your headphones are grounding me out, Lou. There's a short in your system. Every time you move the headphones over here, change volume. If you go to DutchJones.tk and you see the thing for DFT, click on that. That's where we're going to be. They've got like a 40 or 50 acre reactive shooting course, and they're going to take some of our guys. And Lou's going to go. I've got a doctor's appointment at the VA that day. I got to find out if my foot's going to stay on or not. And so we're not going to have a training on Saturday. Okay, who is that?
I don't know. It's a member.
Oh, somebody just texted me and asked. Yeah, say yes. If we remember. I don't know where they are. Somebody's asking for us to bring our catalogs to the Bible study. It's that kind of church. They want to buy military surplus at the Bible study. We're going to have to find them. They're out there somewhere. Your mom has them stashed. So we'll have to, when your mom gets here, we'll tell her to find them. But so we're not going to have a Saturday training, but the indoor training on Sunday means you come to church. That's when the training starts, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Go, you know, just fellowship with us, have chow with us at noon, and then we're going to do hygiene, field hygiene. Not the most glamorous of all instructive materials, but probably just as important as how to maintain your main battle rifle, because nothing other than a bullet to the head that will take you out of the fight is poor hygiene. Why don't you just take it over there with you instead of leaving it on the other side of the room, Lou, so you don't have to walk over there and check the phone and then come back. So we'll do that on Sunday afternoon. We're going to have a special edition. We're going to have some of our female members of our group. See, there it just popped into my... The volume just got louder. Weird. Are going to talk about female hygiene. And that, yes, the men have to sit through it. We're not going to get weird. We're not going to get nasty or anything, but or graphic, but it's stuff you need to know, especially if you've got female members of your family or of your fire team. So we're going to talk about that. That's what we just did for the last half hour. I usually practice my test on my listening audience, my training, see what kind of feedback I get, and then I add that to my presentation because the listening audience, there's always something I forget. There's always something I didn't think about. There's always some new twist to it. So the listeners will type stuff in the chat room, and I'll go, hey, I'm going to steal that and use it, but I always give credit to it, credit to the people who give it to us. So we are here. We just spent the day moving about a third of our belongings, and I was telling the listeners last hour, you do not understand how much junk you have until you have to move it. I mean all of it. I'm not talking bugging out. I'm talking every little box, every little fold of paper, every every little trinket that was ever of value to you at some time that you're going, where did I get this and why do I still carry it around? It's been that kind of day. Backbreaking day, loading stuff, vehicle, every vehicle we have. Well, Stacy's got the good vehicle that kind of runs, and then the other three broke down. But fortunately, we're only moving 300 feet. Well, it's probably a little more than that. But we've been loading up vehicles. But the good news is I keep finding really cool stuff that I thought I didn't have anymore. I found my little Grundig shortwave pocket radio receiver that works fine. I found all kinds of pocket knives, all kinds of first aid stuff. Found our snake bite kits, stuff that, you know, you buy and you stuff it in a cubby hole. Because we've been living out of one room for 2 years now. One room, and it's probably 20 by 10, you know, which is big for a room, but small for a family. So now we're moving into an actual 2.5-bedroom house. I say half because it's a converted walk-in closet where we're putting the bug, the little girl, when she comes to visit. When she gets older, we'll have to find a bigger place, but it's a blessing. I'm not complaining about where we're going. I'm just complaining about the process, getting from here to there. And it puts into my mind, talking about bugging out, you know, bugging out from one location to the other. And see, me, everything I need fits into four, you know, one backpack and three duffel bags. That's what I need. But maybe some of the things that have, you know, a history value to them, you know, family mementos, stuff like that. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, how come you don't have a bunch of baby pictures of your daughter? And I'm like, I got two pictures of her as a baby. That's what I need. You know, I would like to have big albums and stuff, but, you know, I just don't. I'm not that way. I don't have pictures. I don't even have a wallet to have pictures of my kids in. But I don't drag a lot of stuff like that. Now Stacy, the little lady, on the other hand, I wish she was here because I hate talking about her behind her back. I don't know why she's not here yet. But there are just so many things that she has that she's collected over her life that I'm just like, and it's easy to go, oh man, what do we got this for? But I don't put a value on it like that. I'm just not a tangible person. Things don't mean much to me. But we're moving now, and it's better than it could be. But now that the heat's going up, it's getting weird. So I haven't been able to do a lot of preparation for the shows. I'm relying heavily on just current events to give you my Christian worldview twist on it. And again, I have to say that the views I express on this radio show do not directly reflect those of the Church at Cahuilla, the pastor, the folks in the pews, or the janitor. Actually, she's a janitor X or janitoress. What do you call a female janitor? Female janitor, I guess. You know, that kind of stuff. And I do that not because they ask me to, but because sometimes I get pretty angry and I mean what I say, but they may not always agree and back me up on that side of it. So I put that out there, especially now that I can't believe we have, you know, 800 people downloading, you know, a specific show. You know, the 800 downloads of a specific archive. You know, I didn't realize I was having that kind of an audience. If it were five of you folks, I'd still be doing it. But to know that we've got that many folks doing it, I don't know. I thought maybe your mom was walking in over there. I saw a shadow. But it's hard to do the show sometimes. I don't know how Mark does it. I mean, he's got so much more experience and so much more knowledge, so he has a deeper well to draw from. To fill your minds with usable intelligence and usable skills and stuff. But for me, I depend a lot on people emailing me, and when the listeners email me, I love it. In fact, where's the article here? Is this it? I got one today from he just used his name, but he listens on in the middle of the night, so he does not listen live. But here I'm at ussurvival.org, usasurvival.org is what it is, usasurvival.org. And here's a story that's quite appalling. And the national blood banks are hurting for donations, so they're making a suggestion and a request for the federal government to lift the ban on sodomites donating blood. As long as they show clean, they're not HIV positive or Hep C, just like the rest of, you know, population, they have to ask those questions. They're going to let, it says gays, but they're going to let sodomites. And this is by Cliff Kincaid, and it's from USA Survival News, a publication of America's Survival, Inc., and it was sent to me by a listener, and I'm going to read it. With the public focus on the calamity of the Gulf oil spill, another disaster that could affect millions of lives is in the making. The Federal Advisory Committee on Blood Safety and Availability is holding meetings. They held meetings June 10th and June 11th to consider lifting the ban on sodomite blood. Gay activists were expected to dominate the proceedings and intimidate federal policy. You know how they get in there. They just we're already spending trillions, billions of dollars on HIV research, and they want more. Even though AIDS and HIV don't kill as many people as cancer, they want to take that money too. So now, because they're having trouble advancing the disease, they want to be able to donate blood. And it's just what it basically means, if politics is played, and the with this blood supply, is that the 5 million Americans a year who receive blood transfusions, in addition to soldiers on the battlefield, could be exposed to the AIDS virus and other infections in the diseased blood of sexually active sodomites. So here's another thing. If things aren't bad enough, so they're using the excuse that the blood supply is dwindling. So I put this before you for two reasons. One, because you need to know that that's what they're considering, because the media won't talk about this. The media won't bring it up. The media won't say, oh, hey, there's been a shift in policy. It'll be on the back page of some paper in some podunk town, and that's it. But, it's on this blog, and it was sent to us. Along with the sodomites and the military and all that, they're trying to mainstream, being an abomination. But at the same time, this is dangerous because the contagious hepatocytes and their blood systems are going to get into our medical system. And they want to increase the numbers because they're not getting the sympathy that they think they deserve. What better way to do it than to go in and deliberately contaminate it? I mean, how many times do we hear that, these people, like the VA last month had people in a dental program in Florida had to go in because of Hep C's and stuff, and all that being, possible contamination. So the system isn't perfect and stuff gets through. Why run the risk of letting sodomites give, donate blood? It's just part of their evil plan. Another example of how the New World Order has many, many fronts that they're trying to kill us. AIDS didn't do as much as they wanted, so now they're going to try and reintroduce it into the system somehow. And I've never ceased to be amazed at how this stuff doesn't get reported on. The protest at Ground Zero about the mosque being put there. Now, I don't talk much about that, because I figure that is in the news. You can get that from Sean Hannity and everything, so it's not my job to tell you about it, because there are other people doing it. But there were like several thousand people protesting there, and not one news media covered it. And there were all different walks of life there protesting, putting a great big mega mosque. That's what's going to be, a mega mosque within sight of the Twin Towers Memorial. Now, rather than get into a discussion about whether, Muslim terrorists really did it or if it was a CIA op, you guys know my opinion on that. Oh, now I have to log in again. It's kicking me off. But they're just going to keep ignoring stuff like that. And that's why I keep telling people, it's gotten to the point where it doesn't matter what we say or think. Even if we get it out there, they're not gonna report on it. Like this op coming up in, it starts in late September, goes to November for the border, and we're gonna have more information on it tomorrow. With the ACM, the Arizona Citizens Militia. What's gonna happen. They're gonna show up and say, there were 20 people. There may be 5,000 people participating in this, but they're gonna underreport the numbers. They're gonna find the biggest, fattest, goomball looking redneck guy, which will probably be me, and they're gonna try and interview me. And I won't do it, but they'll find one that will. And they'll show that, this is a representation of what the militias are doing. So, it's frustrating, I know. I'm tired today, and I hear these things, and I see these things, and it just makes me angry. And it's not a matter of losing hope or faith in the system. I say it's recognizing the fact that it's just too far gone to patch. We're on the Titanic, people, and you've got people calling me and telling me, hey, let's try and put some super glue patches on this thing. Maybe it can be saved. No, I don't want to do that. That's not something that I'm really interested in. I do like it when people show up at the border, though, because that's not a strictly political activity. That's putting your body where your faith is. That's walking the walk and talking the talk. That's not sitting back on a microphone and going, yeah, somebody needs to do something about the border. That's why I will support any legitimate border operation that wants to come on and use airtime on this show. I think it's probably the worthiest of all causes right now. Second would be the people that are showing up at the day labor sites and harassing the heck out of the people that pick up the illegal aliens. I love those folks. I love it when people do that. You know, just shame and do anything you can. You heard about Utah, right? Somebody dropped off a list of like 1,200 names of illegal aliens in Utah. And the media's going nuts. This is an invasion of privacy. They have no privacy. They're invaders. It had names, social security numbers, addresses, phone numbers, places of work, even some medical information on some of them. And I'm waiting to see how Utah reacts to this. Do they go around and round them up? I mean, this is just a mass reporting. They asked us to report things like this, right? Well, somebody went out and reported something like 1,200. But now they're like, oh, this is just racist. This is a violation of their you know, civil rights. They have no civil rights in our country. So when somebody does something like that, I wish I could shake their hand, you know. Because that's the kind of activism that's important in these times. You know, getting behind politicians locally and stuff, true, too. But I love this boots on the ground thing. And then, you know, the whole lawsuit with Arizona, I mean, that may have some fruit come out of it. I don't know. Brief for Nine States backs Arizona immigration law. It's nice to see somebody's finally stepping up. Arizona's been just getting pounded by all these idiot groups and idiot states and town councils and city councils, board of commissioners for the county. Any little tin horn dictator out there, oh, I'm gonna voice my opinion. I like that idiot from Wisconsin you showed me. She was on the county board of supervisors. Is that what it was? It was a school board. Her supervisor said, well, it's not like Arizona's even on the border. Why are they doing it? And it's like she didn't even know her geography. This is out of Detroit, and I'm sure they've already talked about it on Liberty Tree Radio. We'll find out in the replay tonight. Michigan Attorney General Mike Cox has filed a legal brief on behalf of the nine states supporting Arizona's immigration law. The Republican gubernatorial candidate said Wednesday that Michigan is the lead state backing Arizona in federal court. Michigan is joined by Alabama, Florida, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, and Virginia, as well as the Northern Mariana Islands. That's one of our territories. Cox says the states are authorized to enforce immigration laws and protect their borders. Let's scroll down here. The Arizona law directs officers to question people about their immigration status during the enforcement and other. That's another thing. Nobody ever reads the law. You know, they went to Janet the Butch Napolitano. Is her name Janet Napolitano? Or was I thinking, I just know Napolitano. Yeah. Janet Reno, Janet Napolitano. It sounds weird. So for some reason, it sounds wrong in my head. And somebody asked her, did you even read this? She goes, I'm aware of it. Did you read it? No, I'm aware of it. I've had people ask me just to get on the air and read it. It's like 11 pages long, and I may do that. But what this attorney general is doing is he's firing what's called an amicus brief or amicus brief, depending on A-M-I-C-U-S. I've seen a lot of these in my days, having to videotape council meetings and all that. And what it basically is saying we are filing in support of the defendant. Well, it's not a defendant, but there are other factions filing against him. So this is just a way to build a atmosphere of defense. I mean, I don't think these states are even going to, you know, lend money or anything other than this letter, this amicus brief, where it says, you know, this is why we believe Arizona is doing the right thing. And in fact, we agree with them so much. We want the court to get an official record that we are as states doing it. And it's neat to see that there are actually states that can do that. I mean, we're so divided. I mean, even in just neighborhoods now. The divisions in America now make the the war of federal aggression, you know, look easy to define. Neighbor to neighbor now, it's you know, it's bizarre to me because and California's a prime example. A bunch of us here, when polled, say, yeah, we love what Arizona's doing. But yet California legislators, California city administrators, they're all coming out against it. I would love to see more cities that are more like-minded in California step up and join this amicus brief. But, you know, in effect, it does nothing. It's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing, but it gives a sounding pole for people in Michigan to go, hey, all right, now I know it says he's running for governor. I'm not going to question his motives because I don't know the guy. I've never even heard of him before today. I know nothing about Michigan politics. But it is keenly important that we stand behind Arizona. It is keenly important at this time in history that we do all we can to be ready when things start getting ugly because of how this may go. People 200 years from now are going to be reading about these decisions, you know, just like we read about Dred Scott, we read about the Brown Act, we read about, you know, the stuff that went on in the 1850s leading up to the necessity for, don't stretch your shirt out, Lou, the necessity for, you know, the Confederate States. So I think it's good that this kind of stuff is going on. A follow-up on yesterday's story, you folks who didn't hear it on Liberty Radio because we weren't on there, the Iroquois lacrosse team was given a one-time waiver to be allowed to fly without passports or federal ID, as I put it, you know, and they get to remain their, you know, their sovereign citizen as Iroquois on the Iroquois Nation. However, England has said they're not allowing them in without recognized United States or Canadian passports. Another tyrannical. I told you guys yesterday. Remember this? You know, Britain's going to back it up. You know, Hillary. You know, the man Clinton. You know, just said, okay, well, we'll grant a one-time waiver, but don't do it again. Don't you dare claim sovereignty. Don't you dare claim that you're special and that, you know, and that you're separate from the United States. Hello. So it's vitally important that we understand that these Iroquois. Hello, Stacy. She just walked in. What are you doing?
Just washing stuff.
Oh, just coming up here
I
to move stuff down.
Off.
Is everything okay? How was your day?
It's good.
Good.
How was your day?
Okay. Did the car start okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Huh? Okay. Well, let's. Why don't we take a break right now, and then we'll come back so I can talk to my lovely wife. Yeah, I just got a kiss, and you guys didn't get to see it because the camera's off. We'll be back after Lewis figures out how to play the music.
When your nation is floundering in a sea of phony debt, and your cities are seething with domestic violence, and you're broke and disgusted with your worthless government, will you need the peacekeeping forces today? As the United Nations sends our soldiers overseas for the purpose of propping up their fake democracies, don't be fooled by denial. These are gross conspiracies. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are on their way. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Through force, they will take our guns away. As our traitorous leaders sell this country down the drain to assist and support the international bankers' aims, don't be fooled by your TV. It's just there to fan the flames of another United Nations charade. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops are here today. Keep your eyes on the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. They're unloading shipments every day. Watch the mother of global martial law attempt to make things right. Wrong. Now that your mind has been salvaged and you still have truth in sight, and you have not been duped by all their propaganda hype, will you fight for this country when you know the time is right? Will you fight the peacekeeping forces today? We're gonna fight the peacekeeping forces, the peacekeeping forces. Those ungodly troops will have to pay.
Everybody has to pay taxes. Even businessmen that rob and steal and cheat from people every day, even they have to pay taxes.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, boom! We'll set up roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order, a new world order, a new
attention.
World order, a
new world order. Attention! The government is an emergency! Repeat! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Jones Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
This is the final half hour of the July 14th edition of the Dutch Jones Radio Program. I'm going to move away from the mic a little bit. It sounded a little... that guy was a little too close. We are back, and this is our last half hour, and we're going to run out of here. We have just enough time to turn everything off. We're going to head down to the church for a Bible study at 7 p.m. Pacific time, but I want to thank you all for listening. I don't even know if we're up on Liberty Tree Radio or not. I don't see Ed Kornke in there, but he could be one of the guests. That's fine. They can always pick it up later. We didn't check to see if they upload. Did they upload today's? Okay, yeah. Good. So we are running the freshest intelligence report. I just don't have a radio in here to tune it in. We are having great experience with our new amplifier. We're up to about 260 watts right now, and we're gaining new listeners every day. Hey, Lasol, talk to you later. It's good that we're doing it in the hottest time of the year, because now we'll know the rest of the time we could crank it all the way up to 400. In the winter, we'll be able to, because it won't overheat. So that was good. So thank you all who helped out with that. Somebody made a $25 donation. Do we know who did that? No. Somebody went to DutchJones.tk. That's DutchJones.tk. Went to the little pitch-in widget there, and sent us $25. Thank you very much. I have to. That's done through Stacy's email, and she's not on the computer right now. She's doing some house cleaning, so we have to figure out who did it. And I'd like to thank you personally. We'll send you out some stuff, but we do need more donations. We have an $80, $90. It's almost $90 a month satellite usage fee. We'd like to send some money over to Liberty Tree Radio for letting them run our show on their network. We want to spread the love around that way. We got to pay the electric bill. We got to pay a bunch of other stuff. Now we got two electric bills, because we're going to be living in a house, and we have to pay this electric bill plus that one. And Stacy's telling me that they're going to lay off the county employees that in her department on the 15th of August. So unless we get a lot of support, we're probably not going to be able to do the show after that. Hopefully my foot will be healed and I can find some work. But I'm not doing the send me money or God's going to kill me thing. I'm just being factual. If Stacy loses her income, I don't have an income right now because of stuff going on with my, my foot, and the VA doesn't, there's no money in the California CalVet program. So then we're just going to have to do something else. So if you like the program, you have to donate. You know, and if it's just a dollar, if it's $2, $3, that's fine. If you want to keep hearing it. And if you're like us and you're strapped, you know, we find ways to donate, but I understand. Pray for us. If nothing else, pray for us. Pray that I find a job. Pray that our vehicles get repaired cheaply and efficiently. You know, pray that Stacy finds another job, you know, something. The Lord knows what our needs are better than you or I, so just do the best you can and just pray for us. We pray for you guys. You know, we pray for our listeners. We don't mention everybody's name every time, but we say thank you, Lord, for sending people to listen to the message. We don't get away from that in our lives. I'm not just on for 2 hours a day and then, you know, I'm a whoremonger the rest of the time. Fortunately, the Lord has put me in a place where this is my lifestyle. I am a militant Christian soldier. I'm an enemy of the New World Order. 24 hours a day, I'm part of the militia here because I'm on the security force here. And I'm real thankful for it. But we do have needs, and the minimum needs need to be met because it's going to get real bad here in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if they lay Stacy off. So that's why she's been kind of bummed lately, walking around with a frown. So... True Sons of Liberty's being a carnival barker for us in there. He said a major benefactor needs to send a $1,000 donation. I know, if everybody just sent $5, I mean, if we've got 800 people downloading sermons and stuff, if everybody just sent $1 a month, if 800 people sent $1 a month, we'd pay for everything we need to, and we'd be able to get a better soundboard. We were looking today. Because this soundboard, it's not just the ants, it's everything. We keep having to move farther down the soundboard because pots keep failing, the little sliders, the volume controls, the potentiometers, that's why we call them pots. And, you know, for $100, $120, I can get a used, modern, you know, tiny, lightweight, take it with me. I mean, this thing literally weighs 60 pounds. It's a big Yamaha 200. It's made for, like, putting in a sound booth at a high school, you know, to do plays with. But somebody was getting rid of it, and we didn't want it to go to waste. But it's just not working out for us. $12 a year, yeah. For the price of a... What's a dollar? What costs a dollar these days?
Candy bar
For the price of a candy bar a month, you can support the Dutch Jones Ministries and keep poor little Lou out of the streets. Because when we start losing money for, you know, we can't pay for our food or electricity, we're jettisoning dead weight. We're just jettisoning it, Lou. So you're going to be on the street. I was 14 when I was on the street. You're almost 15. 15 years old, I was working in a sawmill. 15 years old, I was working in the fields. 15, you know, I was doing all that. So there you go. So, just if everybody who hears my scratchy, nasty little voice sends us $2 to $3 a month, we could do what we need to do. But if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. I'm not going to cry over it. I'll go back to doing just an hour for free on, Ustream or something? But we still have to pay for the internet. That's the problem. That's satellite, because there's no other internet available up here. It's $90. And if we get the one for $50, we won't have the bandwidth. We just won't be able to do it and stuff. But enough of me crying about finances. Enough. We got about 20 minutes left of the show that we can still talk. I'll wait till I get it tomorrow. I want to have a copy in hand before I tell you about what we're going to be doing furthermore on the border. What we're trying to do is put together like a reaction team of people where we can continue to go to the border like on a regular basis, maybe every month or every other month. That's right, Warland. Jesus does and will provide. Will and does always provide. And not always just our needs. Jesus does provide our wants sometimes too, as long as we're in line with Him. So that's all we pray, is that our needs and desires are in line with His. So it would be good. I'm always recruiting people to come up here from, you know, and visit. I'm always letting people know about the conference. I hit that hard on Monday, so I'm not going to do it today. But one of the things that we noticed today when we were going through, you know, all of our stuff, inventory lists. You know, I know a lot of people are anal retentive, and they have inventory lists for their inventory lists. And then you have guys like me who have, you know, I stuff things in a backpack, and I stick it in a closet, and 5 months later I have to open it because I go, what did I put in there? I highly recommend that you take, when you're taking out your gear to refresh your food supplies or check your batteries and stuff like that, take some 3x5 cards and write down what is in that pack and stick it in the top of the pack. And write it in the order that it goes in. So, you know, at the bottom of the pack might be your shelter half. The bottom of the pack might be your cooking equipment, because, you know, you don't need to get to that in an emergency. So 3x5 cards in every pack. I'm going to recommend it for our militia this weekend, for our group, our emergency response family group, that everybody takes 3x5 cards. You know, because it hit me yesterday, because we were talking about it with Steve from Southern California about, you know, the border operation. They want you to have all that on a 3x5 card and stuff. And we're doing it here also for our emergency medical technician types. They want to be able to know what everybody's special needs are and stuff. So in your gear, just do it. If you've got a duffel bag, put it in a Ziploc bag with some other blank ones and writing utensils, and you can just throw it in there. And that way you don't have to dig through the whole bag. You can look and say, oh, is this the bag that has the road flares in it? No. You know, and maybe even put like abbreviations, like if you have a rucksack, go center outside pouch. So it would be COP, center outside pouch. LOP, left outside pouch. You know, so you know where to look for it. You know, and get everybody in line in your family, in your emergency gears, to know, okay, you pull the card out and you look to see what's there. Because what if daddy drops down and needs his, his atropine, because he just got stung by a bee and he's swelling up, and they don't know where the atropine is. So they go to the medical kit, they pull it out, they see a card, and it says, you know, atropine pens, outside center pouch, boom, pull it. You know, that's all you need to do. Sit down, take a seat. You don't have to stand up. You're standing all day long. So it was a good thing to me today, because we had everything that I went through, I had to open and look through. Every box, what's in this box? So I was thinking, well, that applies to moving. Most people write, you know, what's in the box, on the moving box. We should be doing that for our gear. And that way we know, especially for, like, ammo cases and stuff. Like, our ammo cases are mixed bags, because we don't have a whole lot of ammo on our persons, you know, that we grab and go. So if we have an ammo bag, I might put in there that, oh, this is the 45, the 223, and the 22. That's pretty much all we have, I think, actually. Oh, 7.62 by 54. But that's in its own ammo can. But it's good to have these index cards in there to keep track of what you have and where it's been put. Anything that you have that is in just one source right now, like a lot of people around here, they've got their little herb books, they've got their first aid books, and they have one or two little books, and they stick it in one pack. Anything that's a formula, an ingredients, a recipe, anything that you think you need to absolutely, positively must have, take those 3x5 cards and write down those formulas on them. Because odds are you're not going to remember them when you need to. Odds are you're not going to remember them when, you know, it's in the dark and you can't find your backpack that had it, but you've got your rucksack on. You can put little index cards and everything that have front and back, you know, the basic thing that you need. I know that formulas for black powder would be a good thing to do. Tinctures, how to make tinctures. I've got all these books on how to make tinctures. I've read them. I've watched the videos. I've sat through in a class and actually made some. But everything can be, I have this sincere belief that anything other than brain surgery and nuclear medicine or, you know, nuclear reactor stuff can be broken down to a 3x5 card front to back, all the steps that need to be done. And maybe it takes 2 3x5 cards, because one's a list of ingredients, the other one is how you assemble them. This is something that you can do while just sitting down at your leisure, and it's a good memory jog. I recommend doing it with the book Patriots. All that awesome stuff in the book Patriots, you know, people were highlighting it and stuff. What good is it going to highlight it if the book's on a shelf and you're 60 miles away? Go through it and make 3x5 cards of the stuff they did, the lessons learned, the tactics that were shared in that creative venue. So it's important that this critical information not be just put in one place. Anything that's on your computer, I know people that have got the Anarchist Cookbook on their computer. That's me. What's going to happen when I don't have the battery power or the computer to get to it? Important phone numbers, important contacts. encrypted stuff. You know, rally points that are encrypted. Bag of lemons for scurvy. We have lemon trees for scurvy. But these are these little things that I forget, so I'm sharing with you, and hopefully I'll do them too, and you'll remind me and be like, hey, Dutch, did you do your index cards? And it's easy to move on to the bigger, funner stuff, like going to trainings, having the rendezvous, that type of stuff. But then you forget the little things. Like right now, I'm thinking about my bug-out bag, and there's at least 8 things that aren't in there that need to be in there. But they're spread out all over in boxes, little shelves here and there, and everything else. It's just the way it is. What do you find on the floor? Phone cord? Or, yeah, phone charger? I don't know where. I think it was plugged into where the fan goes. So do those things now, especially for contact phone numbers. I can speak from experience and from recent relayed experience. You get picked up by the cops. They confiscate your cell phone. Won't let you have the cell phone. How are you going to contact people? How many of us have got important phone numbers memorized? I know I don't. They're programmed into the phone. I don't even know my cell phone number. But if you have a little 3x5 card, that they'll let you have a 3x5 card to go use the phone for your pastor, your lawyer, your bail bondsman, or whatever. You know, you're able to go do that. You're able to figure it out. You're able to have a tangible hard copy of it. They're not going to give you your cell phone. What happens when that cell phone goes dead and you left the charger 600 miles away? You know? Frequencies. I should have every 2-meter repeater, because I only have a 2-meter radio now, the 2-meter 440. Got it out of the Ziploc, put batteries in it to test it. It will not energize. That's why it's important that you test this stuff. I just lost a radio. It's a Radio Shack one, so it's not. Nobody's going to fix it. But what would have happened if I had handed it to Stacy and said, here, you have a radio, put the batteries in it? It doesn't work. Now I know it doesn't work. We got out 2 CB handheld radios. And we were testing them yesterday and they don't work. It just seems to be that, you know, Murphy's Law right now with this. All my gear is in a level of decay or is already broken. And I'm trying to recover from that, and then we have the financial burdens that we have and everything, but that doesn't mean that we're lost. Now I know that radio doesn't work, so I can go throw it in a bin for parts. Maybe somebody will need an antenna off of it or a battery pack. So I won't throw it away, but it's good to have it. It's so good to pre-plan. And you got to realize, all the pre-planning you do, about 25% of it's going to be put to use. But it'll be the critical 25% that may save your life or save your family horrible distress. How many people haven't bought seeds yet? How many people don't have compasses? They got their GPSs, but they don't have a compass. They don't have a map of their operational area. All these little things. We're in a period of grace right now that Jesus has given us. While the enemy is being held at bay, I believe he is, that we need to be working on this stuff. And I get frustrated every day because I keep getting these distractions. I actually, when my foot was hurt, at first I went, hey, this is good news because I can sit on my butt and I can start writing out stuff. I can do a better radio show. But the truth of it is, even though my foot's hurt, I still got all this stuff I got to do. I still got to get stuff moved. I still have to help other people around here, you know, which are just responsibilities that we all have as Christians, right? We don't walk away from it just because, you know, we're trying to save our family first. But it's critical that we work on these things and we focus on these things as soon as you can. Because I don't know how much time we're going to have. I really don't. I don't know if it's going to end up bad tomorrow or bad next year. I have no idea. You know, I'm not hearing some eternal voice saying, here, get ready, it's happening on this date. And if I did hear that, I don't know what I would do anyway, because I wouldn't trust it was from God, because I don't think he would do that. But that just is my relationship with God. Because I'm just not a key person. I'm not somebody that would be given that. My pay grade doesn't entitle me to be privy to that kind of intel. Oh, boy, everybody's sending me stuff. Let's see. What do I got here? You guys are emailing me now. Nobody wants to get on the phone. Everybody wants to email. Let's see here. Go ahead. Da-ding, da-ding. Okay, waiting for stuff to pop up. My computer's slow. Work on your caches right now. If you've got caches, it just went to like a Bristol Palin getting married ad when I clicked on an email. Isn't that typical?
Yeah.
I don't know. This computer hates me. Let me close that. I don't care about the Palin family. I really don't. I don't think she's the solution to any problem, and I don't really care about her private life or her daughter's private life. It's just another stinking distraction that they try and use. Okay, I just got a question. I just ordered 2 gas masks off of the web store. Woohoo, thanks for buying. The question is the mask I ordered the ones with the center filter? I'm a lefty, and will this interfere with me using my AK in the heat of battle? It is, if you ordered the civilian gas masks, they are the civilian with the center one. Now, I've trained with that one on with an SKS, not an AK. Did you say you have an AK or an SKS? AK. Oh, and you're in Palmdale. Oh, that's cool. Sully, that's great to have you in the... I forgot. Yeah, now I know who you are. Names, you know, and stuff, they escape me, but then all of a sudden stuff clicks. They shouldn't be a problem, but you better train with it, because any gas mask is a freak to fire with a weapon on. I know what you're saying. You're going to go, well, am I going to go to the shooting range and do it? You got to go to some place and do it. The filters that you have, the 2 that you ordered, when you get those, you can't pop. Once you pop off the intake seal, the filter starts to degrade. So you got to, you know, don't do that. But you can't. You have to dedicate a training filter. I know that sounds stupid, but I'll look around and see if I can find some, and I'll recommend them to you. Because once you open that filter, tear off, it's kind of an aluminum foil tab in the front, the filter will begin to degrade. Don't ask me the science behind it. But that's the only way you're going to know where it's hitting on the rifle stock. So, plus the goggles in them, sometimes you may get a prism effect out of them. So learning to shoot with your gas mask on is critical. I need to take a break right now, Luke. Could you just play a song real quick? Because I'm starting to... but yeah, thank you for the email. Probably didn't want to call. Here we go, Lou. Are you ready? Boy, why does it take so long for you to play a song? Why? You should have a song ready at all the time. Okay, here we go. We'll be back in a little bit.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife. right. Faith of our Father's holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. We will be true.
Okay. Now, was that Steve Voss again? Yeah. Wow, that's a sweet little song there. And another thing I did want to mention, and I'm glad somebody called in to remind me of this, we have, and if it's okay with Liberty Tree Radio, we have a copy of the NBC training that they put out. It's a 2-disc DVD set. And anyone who buys... What are you hearing? You still hearing something?
No.
Oh, anybody who buys protective masks from us, we will send you that copies of that out. Lewis will burn those two, and they're DVDs, and they're excellent training, and we will send them out to you. They're here somewhere. We got them from, remember when?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Steve. So we will do that if you order those masks, and we'll do that. And also, he wanted to remind you that even though you're in Palmdale, you're not alone. There's a lot of Southern California folks, and if you're in the chat room right now, I don't know if you've signed in or not, but there are a lot of people out there. Okay, number 5, go ahead.
Hey, Dutch.
Hey!
It's fine, you can do it.
Okay, thank you. Boy, ask and ye shall receive. Cool.
We have no problem, anybody can make copies. And
yeah, I've heard that before, but I just wanted to make sure.
Doesn't matter to us as long as the information gets out there.
Yep. So every mask that you buy, I don't care if you buy one or you buy 6, we'll send out that 2 DVD set. So thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a gift from Liberty Tree Radio through us to you. So there you go.
God bless.
God bless you too, brother. Thanks. Wow, there you go. See, I was wondering if he was listening. I didn't know if he was there. isn't that amazing? He's in Michigan. We're here. And instantly, just a response like that. So, anyway, Sully, get in the chat room if you can. I know you're listening and you sent that to us. And there's people in there. They'll identify themselves as SoCal militia folks. And as soon as we get those ordered, PayPal takes a couple days, and then we got to order them. And because we have to order them in groups of 6, right? So this works out perfect. Because we just had a guy order 4, so that'll be ordered probably Friday or Monday, to be honest with you guys. Probably we'll order it Monday, because by the time the money comes in and everything, Stacy gets a paycheck on like Friday or Monday, but we'll order those, and that'll give Lou the time to burn those copies too, so you can use them. Anybody buying masks from the DJstore.tk, you heard it from Ed right there. We are authorized distributors of the Liberty Tree Radio NBC. Training
badge?
Video. Yeah, you get a Lou wants a badge. He wants a merit badge for helping people. We're going to have to come up with, like, Dutch Jones Cub Scouts or something. You know what the difference is between Cub Scouts and the Army, Lou?
Artillery.
Yeah, the artillery. Cub Scouts have better artillery. No, it depends where the Cub Scouts are. When I was a kid, Cub Scouts actually got to shoot guns and carry knives and skin animals and eat them. It's really sad. So, as we're getting to the end here, July's training this Sunday at church will be on hygiene in the field, both manly hygiene and of the fair sex hygiene. One of our ladies is going to teach a class on what women should have in their medical kits and their hygiene kits, and I don't think we're going to separate on this one. I think we'll force the men to listen to those things, you know, about all the weird things that women have to do to keep the grizzly bears from attacking them in the wilderness. But that's what it's going to be. But the only way you can go through the training, this is open to the public. This is the only training we do that's always open to the public. You have to come at 10 a.m. Sunday morning to the church at Cahuilla, and you can call me, you can email me to get directions. You join us for fellowship, singing, and you get to hear Dutch Jones sing, because I sit in the back and sing real loud, because I'm like the rear guard. And then we'll have chow together. You don't have to bring anything. It's our honor to feed you and share with you. It'll be a little buffet. You know, it's always like tater tots and fish sticks, lasagna. Yeah. Yeah, you can bring something if you want to. So there'll be a little bit of talk and fellowship while we eat, and then we'll set up the in the training hall. We'll do our little training, and then we may watch some videos. Lou's always gets some great, like, hand-to-hand fighting videos that we can watch. So if we want to add to the time. So remember, training this Sunday, open to the public. Email me, DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Go to DutchJones.com. www.rockclub.tk. We really need donations. We aren't going to be able to pay the internet bill again, and we want to send some money to Liberty Tree Radio for allowing us to share the airwaves with them. So, as always, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. And from us to you, may the Lord bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. No king, but King Jesus. I'm Dutch Jones, and for all of us here, thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. We know you can listen to a lot of Patriot programs, but thank you for flying with us.